God, Part 2. This is session number 5 of our Theology 101 series. The heading, the subheading, Suffering, Evil, and God's Providential Presence. In the last session, we reflected on various ways the Bible images God. Images of God also express ways people experience God. And this was God, Part 1. Images of God that reflect ways people experience God. In this session, we reflect on how God can be experienced as a powerful helper in the face of evil and suffering, one of those perennial challenges and problems. How is it that we believe in God and how is God present in our world and in our lives? Okay, a couple of sections in this part. One, there are different kinds of suffering. There are all kinds of ways we suffer as human beings. We suffer accidents when we are at the wrong place at the wrong time. We suffer because we are vulnerable and often powerless in the face of illness or the forces of nature. And we suffer because of the actions of other humans against us. While accidents, illness, and natural disasters are terrible events, devastating and tragic, human actions and cruelty toward others, now that can lead to the most painful kind of suffering. And so we reserve the word evil and the word atrocity for human cruelty and abuse against other lives. Now, suffering is suffering however it comes. But to struggle, to forgive and to move on, to struggle for justice, you know, it's much harder when it involves other people we must engage because they have hurt or harmed us, betrayed us, or neglected us. Okay, so section number 2, God's presence and help in our suffering. How is God present and helpful? There are two quite opposite ways God has been conceptualized and experienced. And these two different ways have shaped, in very different ways, how we see God as a powerful helper in our suffering. So the first way, A. For much of Christianity, God has been conceptualized in the image of a powerful monarch, more powerful than all evil and ultimately in control, in charge. God in charge and in control. This is the majority tradition in traditional Christianity. And this means, this way of looking at God as ultimately in control, means that when there is suffering and the evil that is sometimes behind it, it must be interpreted in any of these ways. One, it's deserved because of poor choices, and therefore it's our fault as human beings. It's us and our poor choices that's at fault. Two, it's divine punishment for our failure to live according to God's will. Three, it serves some larger purpose of which our suffering must play some mysterious part because, and we are called to trust that it's serving some larger purpose even though it's very painful and terrible to live it. Four, it's a way to humble us and teach us some lessons. You know, we can never blame God because God always has a reason and always has a plan for us and the world. God is in control. If suffering comes, it has to fit into all that some way. We can protest and complain that it's unfair and even cruel, but God can help us cope and ultimately come to a place of surrender and peace in accepting what happens as God's will. Everything that happens is ultimately under the sovereign will of God. Okay, so what about evil? Is that God's will too? No, it's not. Yet God has mysteriously allowed evil its time, for a time, but in some undisclosed future, evil will be defeated and banished forever. We must hold on to that faith and hope. But if God is a God of love, how can God allow so much suffering and evil? Is there no other way to help us learn and grow, whether we are at fault or not? Is there no better way for God's will to be fulfilled than necessitating our suffering and permitting evil to do such harm? We cannot ultimately question God. Our role is to fight evil and seek to help each other when we suffer. But we cannot ultimately know why. We must learn and grow through our suffering and be patient and resilient in our resistance to evil. We pray to God to help us accept and help us find strength to cope. God is ultimately in charge and will carry us and provide providence, a way through to the other side. God will give us strength to overcome if we accept with patience what is and grow more obedient and faithful to God's will. We can pray for deliverance, and sometimes God intervenes to change things. But ultimately, we must just accept suffering as somehow part of God's larger, mysterious plan. Okay, but now there's a whole other way of thinking and experiencing God. B, throughout the Bible, historically, and especially since the 20th century, many have questioned and ultimately rejected a God of power and control imaged as some universal and eternal monarch. If God is most primarily steadfast love, as the Bible tells us, you know, chesed in Hebrew and agape in Greek, if God is most primarily steadfast love, then God must be experienced as powerful helper in a very different way. As creator, as Abba, God, God does not control the universe or Mother Earth or the animals any more than God controls us humans. Freedom is built into the order of the universe just like patterns and rhythms in nature also are. Choices must be made, even as all life is vulnerable and has needs that must be met. For example, we need food, and if we are to survive, we must find ways to get food. We have no choice as we are vulnerable. We are needy. But whether we take it from others or work together with others to secure it, it's entirely our choice. Our vulnerability can make us afraid and even mistrusting of others, but it can also encourage us to open our hearts to build trusting relationships of mutual care and compassion. In this way of thinking, God is imaged as a lover seeking relationship with us so that such love can energize us from our hearts outwards. God is a caring parent who offers us a beautiful world to care for and creatures all around us as vulnerable as we are, hoping to inspire us with love to build a network of reciprocally caring relationships so that we all flourish together. Suffering comes because we are vulnerable and the world is an open interplay of forces. But it also comes because people make poor choices, bad choices, out of fear and insecurity. They grow hate and mistrust. They see other lives as threats or as means to an end, and hence they seek to control and dominate in order to generate greater security and power for themselves. Control because of fear and domination because of mistrust. These are demons of perverse addiction that can never be satiated. How much money, land, and control of others does one need to be satisfied? It can never be enough unless hearts are changed to find fulfillment in a very different way. So then, suffering is a reality because we are vulnerable, and evil is real because humans make bad choices. We all suffer, but some suffer extremely if they and we are not protected in our vulnerability. God, as love, will not use the weapons of violence and force to stop evil, and God doesn't swoop in to rescue us in our suffering in some externally interventionist way. Sometimes there are angels around us, yes, and they're inspired by love, but it's not God sort of zipping down, so to speak. But when hearts are open to be transformed by the energy of God's love, as just said, and when God is love above, beside, and within is at work within us, you know, the journey through suffering and confronting evil, it becomes opportunities to grow love in all kinds of ways. Love as justice, love as compassion, forgiveness, repentance, finding our empowerment as we empower others, deepening our hearts as we accompany others, expanding our emotional granularity as we become present for others and see them in all their personhood because we care. When love is flowing into us and through us, we are also more primed, body, mind, spirit, for healing. And further, through prayer, with hearts full of compassion, we send healing energies of love outwards. God, the Spirit, is in this energy flow. We find our purpose through love and through and beyond our suffering. We confront evil not by evil's weapons of fear and hate, which would be revenge, but by seeking ways to make peace with justice that refuses to dehumanize the enemy we are trying to resist and hold accountable. This is God at work in, through, and among us. This is God's power, God's presence within and around us, and God's help in redeeming and transforming us in this life and beyond. God will provide providence a way through, but we must look for God in the right place and open our hearts to God in the right way. Our prayer to God is this: God, please provide a way through for me. Whatever the outcome, may my spirit flourish and my heart grow. May I find ways to experience victory in all my relations and find peace in whatever comes. May justice and love win because you are working in and through me. With you above me, Christ beside me, and the Spirit empowering me within, all things are possible. Amen. So, what do you think? Thank you.